Well, good morning.
I never feel like Steve carries this much stuff up. Well, it's graduation Sunday. Feels a little weird because I'm used to back home in where I grew up in South Dakota, we had graduations on Saturday. So being at graduation weekend, I'm just like, oh, yeah, it's all done. We're good. And it's not. So you guys still got a little bit left, but you'll be okay. But congratulations. You've made it through life, and sometimes seemingly more difficult, you made it through your senior year. In your 18 years of life, you've learned to talk, walk, read, write, do some math, study science, create fine art, perform poetry or debate, play elegant music, understand more advanced math, not blow yourselves up in chemistry, which is sometimes a feat in and of itself, get a job, drive a car, cook, kinda, do your laundry, probably not super likely, but you'll get there. Fill out forms and learn many other skills relevant to being an adult. And it's, in a lot of ways, been all training up to this point, but that is worth celebrating. You guys have learned a lot. You've done a lot. But today on graduation day, I'm going to be that guy that poses a challenging idea to you all, but specifically to you graduates, that your achievements up until this point are not the only thing that we should be celebrating, but something else. Because as believers, there's something equally worth celebrating. And this might be a little bit of a tough idea, because on graduation weekend and leading up to graduation and their whole senior year, really, we're used to celebrating their achievements. You know, you guys did a lot. I went to a bunch of graduation parties, and there were awards and medals and plaques and all this cool stuff to celebrate what you guys did. And there were memories, tons of memories, 18-ish years of memories. There were tons of photos. I mean, that's a pretty typical thing to do on graduation day and have the graduation parties, to have a bunch of photos up so you can see what these well, not really kids anymore, but what you guys have done through your lives. And we think about their future. I mean, I'm sure if you guys had a dollar for every time you were asked, so what's next in your life? What are you going to do? I bet you could pay for college. So there's a lot of things worth celebrating. And I mean, I don't know how many of you know this, but I've actually known Max for a lot longer than just this year that I've been here. We found out and were reminded, what? Oh. we found out as during my hiring process that he was my camper at Hidden Acres. And we remembered that, and then, you know, all the good memories started flooding back, and it was a good time. Thankfully, most of the campers I remember really well, it was not for good reasons. So you're good. I only remember the good stuff. But there's a lot of things that we celebrate on graduation weekend and day. But I wanna shift it to something that is much more worth celebrating, and I don't want to say it's more important, because what you guys have done, your lives are very important. But there's something about you that we need to celebrate a lot more. So I want everyone to turn. We're not going to have slides. I want everyone to actually open their Bibles, and we're going to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And for those of you who are familiar with this verse and this chapter, I know it might seem like the love chapter, but there's something really important in here that's very relevant to young adults. So we're going to start with the first three verses. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned but have not love, I gain nothing. So we're going to stop there for just a second. Why do we put forth effort? And I'm going to use you guys as an example, the seniors. I'm going to use you guys as an example for the whole sermon because, you know, it's for reasons. And why do you guys put forth effort into things? Maybe it's, you know, because you want good grades. They'll help you, you know, get into a good college or learn things that you hadn't known before. Or maybe it's because there's a job that you, if you know before your senior year what you want to do for the rest of your life, you're one of the rare few, but maybe you're looking forward to something that you want to do in your life. And so all the effort you're putting into things is focused on that, your future. Or maybe you're just really, really studious, which is great. But do we ever do it with the motivation of love? And how can we do things out of love? All those things I listed, you know, especially something like math, driving a car, going to school, it kind of seems like, that's kind of weird. Do math with love? It seems odd. But the Bible says, if we're not doing everything out of love, those things that we don't do, well, they don't really add up to much. So even if some things we're doing in love and the things that we can't really figure out how to do it were, you know, those things we're just, you know, we're doing for other reasons, well, do we really still want a percentage of our life to only be meaningful and achieve something? I know that's so far I'm not really sounding very enthusiastic and, you know, joyful. I'm not promoting something good so far with what I'm going, but let's keep reading. Let's get the next couple verses in, 4-7. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoings, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Okay, so did you get your answer as to how you can do everything in love? Because if you did, I can get off the stage and my job can end early. But if not, that's okay. Let's run through a couple of these things and let's see how if it's confusing to think, well, how can I do something like math out of love? Maybe it's easier if we just look at what is love. How does the Bible describe it? And can we apply those things to our lives? So it's going to be a stretch at first, but let's use math as an example. And in honor of the graduates, let's use math class. So just learning math in school, how would you do that with love? Well, could you go through math class with patience? And I think that's very possible. And you would stand out like a good sore thumb if you were an extremely patient and kind student who just was willing to learn what the teacher had to say, learn what was in the textbooks. Love does not envy or boast. If you saw, you know, in the seat next to you, another student got a better grade, could you reach over to them and pat them on the back and say, good job, and not be envious? Or what if you were that student with a really good grade? Could you be glorifying to God in that moment and not be boastful and say, no. You know, God gave me this mind, and it's all Him. It's all Him to the You know, glory be to God in this moment, not me. It is not arrogant or rude. I was homeschooled most of my time in school, but I went to school, my public school, my senior year, and man, not everybody, but there were some really arrogant, rude kids in school. And there's a couple of them in every school, but could you go into class and be super respectful? It does not insist on its own way. Maybe you think you know whether you should do this homework or how to do this homework better than the teacher told you to do. Or maybe your parents are saying, hey, I know you want to go out and do these things, you know, tonight, but your homework's really important. So could you go through class not insisting on your own way? Or how about not being irritable or resentful? I mean, I'm sure we've all experienced a time in our lives when there was something we had to do, especially homework, where we got irritated by it and we resented whoever gave us the homework to do. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Do you hold yourself to a standard of saying, you know, I could cheat, I could copy someone's paper, I could Google the answers online, but I'm not going to. It's tough, but I'm not going to. But rejoices with the truth instead. Just celebrating being honest. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Stick it out through class. Do it well. Don't let senioritis kick in. I mean, it's kind of too late for that. If it happened, it happened. But so now when you put it that way, I guess, like, you know, it is a little easier to see how could we do things in love? How could we do something as emotionless and you know, loveless as math? How could we go through math class with a heart of love? And I want to go through one more. I want to take one more example. Getting a job. And we'll make it even more difficult. We'll apply it towards, you know, it's easy to see how you could support a family with love. Taking a job you don't like to support your family and to pay for what needs to be paid for. But let's think about if you were in a high school situation where you don't necessarily have a lot of huge responsibilities and things you need to pay for. Love is patient and kind. How many of you have had coworkers, whether it's your first job or not, that just drive you up a wall? Or maybe it's a customer. The customer is always right. Sometimes they are not. I, as a customer, will admit to that. I have not been right all the time. But are you going to be patient and kind towards everyone you meet? Love does not envy or boast. You get a special responsibility or a special benefit from your job. Or maybe someone else did. Are you going to be envious of them? Are you going to boast in your own? Or are you going to be encouraging and uplifting and say, good job, I'm glad that happened to you. Or with your own, encouraging others. Or giving just the glory to God, saying, you know, I don't deserve this. And, you know, let's give the glory to the person who deserves it. Love is not arrogant or rude. You'd stick out. You'd be an example if you were someone that every time they walked into that store or every time that other, your coworker clocked in and saw the way you acted, if you were just always peppy and joyful and kind, instead of being arrogant or rude, like, let's be honest, a lot of people at jobs are. Jobs get frustrating. And irritable, resentful, same thing. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. When I was working at a grocery store when I was in high school, a lot of my coworkers, the high schoolers, would almost make a game out of, you know, who could steal the most candy bars or go into the deli and get some roasted chicken and, you know, eat it in the back, and they'd all be like, yeah, this is great, free food. But that's stealing. And they were rejoicing in it. Could you rejoice in the truth? Could you rejoice in just the fact that, hey, I want to honor God through my honesty? Love bears all things. Can you do what your boss wants you to do? Believes all things. Can you trust that there's a good reason you have this job, even if maybe you don't like it, or maybe you do? Hopes all things. Endures all things. So what does this have to do with graduation? I mean, sure, yeah, it's very applicable. Do everything in love. But what is it that I said is worth celebrating that revolves around this idea of love? Well, let's read verses 8 through 10 together. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. And here's where we get into what's really exciting about this chapter and how it applies to graduation. Everything we can do on earth, it's temporary, except our choice to act out of love towards others, just as Christ acted out of love towards us. All these things that I read off, all these things that you guys achieved, and all of us, think about your own lives. Everything that you've done up to this point, and will do in the future, at some point it's going to be forgotten. Probably not in your lifetime. You'll remember it. Others will remember it. But nothing is permanent. Except the Bible says love is. Everything you might be able to do will pass away, but your effects of love, when you choose to love someone, God's going to use that, and he's never... I mean, it says it right here. It will not end. It will not pass away. You will be able to do something that will have eternal consequences. Your actions might not be remembered, but they will be felt by the future generations. So in verses 11 and 12, when I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part. Then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. You guys have been children for a while. And I wouldn't say you're children now, but at one point you were. And to your parents, maybe you're still their little baby. But you have the opportunity now. You're going to be making your own choices. I mean, you've been learning how to make those choices, but now it's a real deal. You're 18, you're out of school. The world is your oyster, whatever that means. And so now you have the chance to no longer act like a child, but love like a mature adult who is following Christ's example. And you don't see in the mirror of reflection and self introspection. You don't see as dimly in that mirror anymore. You're growing in your knowledge of truth. And you have the opportunity to choose to do something out of love or do something for virtually every other reason possible. And so this is where it applies. We definitely should celebrate your achievements. We should be happy for your memories, and we should look forward to your futures. But I pose to you the idea that today on graduation day, we can celebrate the fact that we have mature, Christ-following adults that now have a grand future ahead of them where they are going to be choosing for themselves to do everything out of love. And so verse 13, final verse. And I know I'm a little quick with my sermons, but I think that's okay. I'll make up for Steve. So now faith, hope, and love abide. These three, but the greatest of these is love. You guys have a future of loving others ahead of you. The days of being trained by your parents and your families and your church family, they're over. You're going out on your own. And that might look different for every one of you. Out on your own might be choosing to stay around here. It might be to go off to Timbuktu. Who knows? But everywhere you go, the choice is yours. And the choice to love is yours. And it's the same for all of us. There's only specifically four people in this room that are graduating today, but we all have the choice to move forward in love with every single act we make on this earth until God calls us home. So my charge to you guys is, are you going to do that? It won't happen every time, guarantee it. But what is going to motivate you to achieve? What is going to motivate you to make memories? What is going to motivate you to move into the future? And for all of you, and for myself, are you going to do the same? And are you going to support and celebrate the graduates today, not just in what they have done, but what they can do in Christ? Because it is all right to be excited for their futures. We should be. But when we think about the scripture, we have another level of excitement that we can enjoy, which is the fact that everything they do and everything we can do, but everything they can do with their futures as adults can have eternal and permanent rewards. So I'm going to wrap it up there. We're going to pray. And then we have a special song that we're going to finish off our time of worship with. And so as we move out of here, let's prayerfully consider what it is to really act out of love. Lord, we are so thankful for everything you've given us. But today we want to be lifting up and being extra thankful for the fact that we get to see these wonderful students become mature adults, even though they're young. This is the beginning of their adult life. They're still going to be children to some, but they're not really going to be their children. They're going to be your children. Let us be focused on what really matters today. In your name we pray. Amen.